Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for setting our hearts straight about what means the most to you. Help us to fulfill your deepest desires for the poor. Amen. Well, after I received the Lord in communion, I waited on him. Then he made himself visible to me, so happy that I was there and really paying attention for once, not thinking about the list of things I needed to do. I laid my head over his heart, and he held me close, smiling, for something had been resolved this morning, something of key importance to him and to me. 2 days ago, I pulled a holy card from my card file that said, "Serve me rather than yourself." I was both puzzled and hurt that he said that, but I knew he's always right, always. So I took the medicine and asked him to clarify where I had let him down. And I realized, in setting up this little home in the tiny chapel, I realized that I'd been very busy gathering things to myself rather than thinking of others. Perfectionist that I am, I had endless lists, which I'm sure everyone was tired of hearing, let alone getting for us. And I had become very self-centered. I was so convicted and so very sorry. I confessed that and was given an absolution. Then this morning I awoke early. It was still dark outside, but I had just had a dream. In this dream, we were in the somewhat poor and industrial area of town, and people were sitting on concrete pavements. They were poor and came to this food bank to receive supplies. I saw one woman in particular, an immigrant and possibly Jewish, with her family. They had nothing to eat and were waiting hopefully for the distribution of food. Having worked at this food bank for over 20 years, I just started finding things and giving them to her. Then I stepped into the facility itself, and there was some kind of gathering going on where all the volunteers were eating grilled sausages and other tasty foods. The whole environment was one of abundance and gaiety. While outside, the poor were sitting there on the pavement with nothing. They spoke to me saying, "Would you like to purchase a plate of food?" Well, I love sausage, but I also knew that those outside had nothing. So thinking perhaps I could share, I said, "Well, yes, how much is it?" They answered, $29.95 for a plate. I couldn't believe it. What? The poor are on your doorstep waiting for a scrap, and you are in here feasting with donated food and charging for it? It was obvious to me that the poor were not going to get anything. Well, then I woke up. I started thinking about this dream, and I realized the poor are being ignored, not by some strangers, but by me. I asked the Lord right then and there, "Do you want us to start up a food bank again?" And I opened the Bible Promise book to hospitality. What if a Christian does not have clothes or food, and one of you says to him, "Goodbye, keep yourself warm and eat well"? But if you do not give him what he needs, how does that help him? Well, recently we had applied to this old food bank that we belonged to and been denied membership because of an error on the form. So I figured, well, that's that. That's a closed door. I guess we aren't going to distribute food from there after all. So I wrote it off and forgot about it. But he who hears the cry of the poor did not forget, and I had let him down. I repented immediately and promised to make it up to him. My mind started racing on how we could still provide low-cost but good food. This was a breakthrough for the Lord and I, because he has not been so present to me for a while now. But now he's holding me, smiling and happy that I accepted his invitation to take care of the poor. And something was restored between us, something very precious. Dear ones, I can't thank you enough for contributing so that we have something to give. How joyous it is to be able to give again to the widow and the orphan. Thank you for making it possible to both feed the community and care for the poor. Then Jesus began speaking. He said, "Yes, my darling Claire, I know you have been missing something very important to me in your rush to set up your nest, and it gives me great pleasure to see how quickly and wholeheartedly you have responded, even in the harshness of winter. There are those around you, Claire, that have nothing substantial to eat. My heart aches for them, and I look to my servants to supply for them. I want this community to be known as one that is exceedingly generous to the poor and needy. I want this light, this beacon, to shine into the darkest places. Yes, there are many practicing witches in your area, but there is no replacement for kindness and generosity. Be my hands and feet, and bring them all something to eat. I have touched the hearts of certain ones on this channel to provide for the poor in addition to your needs. So long as you give out, you will receive, and those steeped in deepest darkness will be touched. You see, my people, words are cheap. Intentions are a dime a dozen. But those who live the gospel are rare. I am calling my little band of Franciscans to shine into one of the darkest areas of your nation. I am calling them to show mercy and love to the cruel and unlovable. In that day there will be no excuse, because my servants gave sacrificially to their needs, and some did not repent. Yet others will, when they see their kindness and impartiality to all. There are many poor widows and grandmothers taking care of abandoned children. There are many disabled who did not qualify for assistance. There are many lonely who never get visitors, let alone anyone who will offer to help them with their propane and electricity, as well as food. This is what I am calling you to shine at, Claire. I want to reverse the ugly attitudes these have about Christians. I want you to show them that I am a God of provision and caring, and I have not forgotten them. This is the time of the year when families are spending lavish amounts of money on toys and trinkets for their children and friends. Yet when they stand before me, they will be naked because they did not provide for the poor. They did not prepare their hearts for my coming. Dear ones, Christmas is not fulfilled with a lavishly decorated tree replete with boxes and boxes of presents. That is not Christmas. That is unbridled avarice and indifference to the needs of a poor among you. The Satanists laugh you to scorn from Thanksgiving until New Year's, because while you are so caught up in buying appropriate gifts, they are laying curses upon you and fasting for their feast of the new year, at which time they will assemble and draw down evil upon those who are spiritually naked, blind, and poor. They are spiritually impoverished and uncovered because of greed and avarice. They have not given to the poor, so I do not defend them. Does not my word repeat over and over again that I protect those who take care of the poor? Yet my people are so worldly-minded that they think feasting and gift-giving is what Christmas is all about. May I say, dear ones, have you ever looked at my manger and wondered, what was God thinking when he sent his only begotten Son to earth in a filthy stable? Are you thinking, How quaint that was. No, my people, this was not a quaint presentation of my incarnation. Rather, it was a deliberate example for you to live a simple life that honors God and not men. Everything I accomplished was done in avoidance of impressing or enlisting the support of the wealthy. Rather, I presented you with the greatest gift ever given to man, and did it without ostentation, pomp, and worldly splendor. This should tell you how to celebrate my birth, and how best to honor me. Lord, I always have trouble with this because what has made Christmas so special to me since I was a child was the beautiful tree and the glittering presents. It left a deep impression on me, a time of mystery, joy, and something more special than any other time of the year. Jesus answered me, "My precious, when you were a child, you embraced childish things, which I have allowed in the past to bring special significance to my birth for children. A time of joy and feasting, but with a careful eye to those who have nothing. You got it right when you taught your children to make corn husk dolls and saints to hang from a bare winter branch, the significance of which was that these men and women had given their lives. So now they live in glory with me in heaven. You got it right when you took food boxes to poor families. But now that you are an adult and a shepherdess, you must teach your people to give and honor my birth by a sincere offering of their hearts to me in the service of mankind. Your culture is eaten up with the cancer of avarice, greed, and self-gratification. Those who have chosen to live holy lives must demonstrate something different if anyone is to understand the significance of my birth. I want them to know that I care, I am looking in on them, I remember them, and I love them. Give this kind of gift to the poor, and you will satisfy my heart. As for your own family's celebration of Christmas, make me the focal point. Use an Advent calendar and pray special prayers each day in preparation for my coming. Bring a baby Jesus doll for them to hold and retell the story of my birth. There are many precious graces during this feast. They enrich the soul and bring the children nearer to me. Gather together and sing songs and tell stories that bring out the true meaning of Christmas. Oh, there are so many graces to be had when you sincerely celebrate my birth, dear ones. Make this time all about me, not money and presents. And remember to give and serve the poor, passing out socks and mufflers to the homeless, bringing them hot coffee and rolls, and boxes of food for poor families. Raise the whole tone of Christmas in your lives to one of giving, not receiving. And I will attend to your spiritual needs as you become more and more pleasing to me, showing the world what my incarnation was truly about. Pray and ask for wisdom, and you will receive understanding from on high. I love you. I truly, truly love you. Be my reflection to the needy. Show them how much I care.